This is all I want. That the love I have for you doesn't fade along with you. Can you help with that?
All right, greater things. Good morning. Ron, thank you for that message. By the way, I would venture to say that each one of us can make the same proclamation that Ron just made, and that's that I am Jesus' greatest miracle. Each one of us could say that. Thank you for that reminder. Of all the cool stuff, the biggest one is salvation. And so let's talk about that a little bit this morning. We are in greater things, and so we thought we'd do is float through the book of Nehemiah as we're talking about greater things. There's a restoration of a wall we're going to talk about today. I'll give you guys a chance to turn there. We're going to be in chapters 4, 5, and 6 of the book of Nehemiah today. It's the 16th book of the Bible. When you open up to the middle, there's that big book of Psalms. It's just a couple of books before that. I'll let you guys catch up for a minute. But the one of the things, what I'm going to try to do today is paint this whole story. There's three huge chapters, and I don't have a lot of time to do it, so I'm going to try to do this in an orderly fashion. So one of the things that came to my mind was, you guys like to watch movies. Anybody like to watch movies? And so one of the things that drive me nuts, we do too, in our family, in our house, we have a thing called Haas Family Movie Night, and usually it's Sunday night, we'll kind of just get together and unwind from the weekend and sit and watch a movie together. And one of the things I hate is when you get to a great movie, one you've been anticipating seeing or whatever, and so you flip it on, and you got your popcorn and your drinks ready, and all of a sudden it starts, and there's this great action scene, there's a lot of drama, there's just a great flow to it, and you're like, man, this could be an hour and a half, 2 hours of this, this is great. And then it stops. And then the screen says, 1 year ago, or 3 weeks ago, or 2 days ago, and you're like, oh man, I just watched the end of this movie, and now we're going to spend the rest of the time catching up. And it drives you crazy, because later on you'll be watching a scene or something, and there's some peril going on, and you're like, don't worry, buddy, I've seen the end of the movie, and you're still in it. It's good, you're going to be all right. So it's like a spoiler. And I hate that type of movie, but for this sermon, I thought it may actually work out to try that. So in Nehemiah chapter 6, there's a restoration of the wall. And when I say this, if you guys have read Nehemiah, you probably float your mind right to the last verse there, right towards the end of chapter 6, where in verse 15 it says the wall was completed, right? And you wouldn't be wrong for thinking that way. I mean, that is the end result. So there's your spoiler alert. The wall gets done. We've been leading up to that for 2 weeks now. But I want to stop for a second for the sake of this sermon and go back to a couple verses prior. One to me was the biggest point leading up to this story. And it's back in verse 3. And so last week, Linwood mentioned a couple guys named Sanballat and Tobiah. And they're these menace kind of guys. They hate the fact that there's a wall being built, and not sure 100% why. But so they're trying to trick Nehemiah into stopping the great work, stopping getting the wall done. And they're doing everything they can. And so go back to me in verse 3. They send a letter to try to trick him to come meet with them. And he answers like this in verse 3. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? And that verse just stuck with me, and I kept contemplating that verse. And really, at the end of the day, God is calling us to do a great work, a great project. And so many times, distractions are what prevent that from happening, right? So one thing I got to remember, when I'm talking about kingdom work, when I'm talking about great work, it has nothing to do with me, and it has everything to do with God. And there's the first thought on what a great work looks like. And I think Nehemiah knew he was carrying on a great work, and he wasn't going to be distracted. You guys ever get involved in a project you just could not be pulled away from? Something like pulling weeds in the front yard or whatever it looks like. You guys ever had a project that you just kind of got into and there was nothing that was going to pull you away from it? I remember years ago, it was Christmas Eve, and we had gone out, and my son at the time was into Thomas the Train. Any of you guys remember that? All little boys go through a Thomas the Train phase, but he was in it. And we went out Christmas Eve and got this Thomas the Train track, what we thought was a neat little train track. And it turned out to be a track that was the size of our whole living room. And we didn't know, but, you know, it was Christmas Eve, and we wanted him to come out, you know, on Christmas morning and see this track totally done. And so we weren't getting pulled away from this. And we had to move the couch twice, and we had to rearrange the whole furniture. This thing literally was huge, and it seemed like every time we'd put a piece in, four more would show up. It was a big track. But we stayed up all night, and we got the track done. It was neat to see him come out in the morning and see a whole living room full of train track, and it was just super encouraging to see that. Now, the tricky part of that is, how long are you going to leave your living room with a train track in it? So our daughter helped with that. My son took one of my daughter's toys, and so she got him back by ramming a toy shopping cart into it, and that ended that and started a whole new bro problems. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. You get involved in something, and you just can't be pulled away. It's so important to you that you just don't want it to get done. And I think Nehemiah was going through this, but he was actually on a great work because his great work was about God. So stay focused. When you're on a great work for God, stay focused and don't let distractions hit. But we know that they're gonna, right? Let me tell you something, church. The enemy hates the fact that you guys are in here this morning worshiping a risen Savior. He can't stand it. Do not think for a second that when you leave here, he's not going to try to throw opposition at you, try to distract you from doing great works in your life. So, spoiler alert is done. We know the wall is getting completed, but let's build back to the story. So if you guys would please go back to chapter 4 with me, and we're going to go to verse 1, and I kind of catch you up on what this means. So we talked the last couple weeks building up to this, about Nehemiah starting this great work. And so Nehemiah, as you guys know, if you were here last week, was King Artaxerxes' cupbearer. And a cupbearer back then had many different functions, basically whatever a king told him to do. But he had to be in a spirit of joy all the time. When he went in front of the king, he could not be distraught. He could not be down. But we know, like Linwood talked about last week, he was. He had God had placed this on his heart, and he was distraught. You guys ever have something in your lives where you just can't turn the switch off? You know, something, some turmoil or something's in your life, and it just doesn't matter how positive you want to be at work or how positive you want to be with your kids or family. You're going through something, you can't turn that switch off. You know what I mean? You guys ever been through something like that? And it showed. So he goes to Artaxerxes and he asks if he can go build this wall. Now, he's asking to go build a wall, not to go to the supermarket for some ice cream at night. He wants to go 900 miles away and build a wall. Now, obviously, he had some favor with the king, right? Because the king lets him go and even supplies him to do this. So obviously, his character spoke highly enough that the king would let him do this. So he gives up the comfort of living right next door to the king, eating the best foods with the king, drinking the same wine and water and stuff as the king. Sometimes that's tricky because oftentimes the cupbearer's job is to pre-test the meals in case somebody's trying to poison the king. So there's some ebbs and flows of that, some goods and bads. But anyway, that gets us to where we're at. And so now he's here and he's going to start working. And so chapter 4, verse 1, let's read this. It says, when Sanballat heard that the rebuilding of the wall was happening, he became angry and was greatly incensed. I don't know why this guy is so upset about this, but he becomes angry about the fact that now they're starting work. And so he ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Were they going to finish in a day? Can they bring those stones back to life from those heaps of rubble burned as they are? So then his sidekick Tobiah kicks in. The Ammonite who was at his side said, what are they building? Even if a fox climbed up on it, it would break down their wall of stones. So the first thing they start facing is ridicule. And that's usually the way it's a good opposition to great work starts. So I want to encourage you guys to know something here. If you are a Christ follower and you're doing a great work, you can be sure you will face opposition. And I love the way James 1 describes this. You guys heard this before. Verses 2 through 4 says this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith builds perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Consider it pure joy when you face. Have you ever thought about that? Has anybody here ever been through the thick of something and you're like, oh, high five. I'm so pumped I'm in this, right? We don't think that way. But the beauty of that statement is later on, he's saying, God, have you ever thought about the fact that you're going through a trial because God is trying to complete you, make you something better than you are, mature you so that you're complete and not lacking anything? It's a difficult way to think about things, but I try to think that way sometimes. I'm not overly happy about going through whatever trial I'm in, but I remember, God, where are you taking me through this? There's got to be an answer. You're trying to make me better. You're trying to complete me. And so we don't always enjoy the trials, but remember what they're there for, and remember whose you work for. What great work are you working on? Later on in verse 12 in James, it says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under this trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God's promised to those who love him." The crown of life. Imagine that. God's still working on me. So, we know if you're a Christ follower doing great works, you are going to face opposition. And they often will start with ridicule from the outside. But I love how Nehemiah responds. Verse 4, he says, "Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight. For they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." So once again, Nehemiah's first response to anything that happens is, "Hear us, O God." Let's talk to God. Now, it's 3 weeks in a row we've talked about that. It's the third time in 3 weeks you've heard that. Our response should always be first, "God, what do you think? God, help me out in this. I don't understand. Are you trying to complete me? Are you trying to do a great work in me?" And then go back to your battle. 3 weeks in a row now, we've seen that Nehemiah's first response, not his last resort, was, "Let's talk to God about this." And I love this. And so, verse 6 says, "So we rebuilt the wall till it reached half of its height, for the people worked with all their heart." So they're halfway done with this wall now. So guess what, church? When you get halfway done with a great work, what's going to happen? When you are halfway done with something, you're in the middle of doing something for God, guess what? More opposition, right? More things. Be ready for it. Respond in prayer and be ready for it. I remember years ago, my mom lives in Topeka, Kansas, and she came down to visit us. And so what she likes to do is puzzles. You guys do those? And so after dinner one night, it was before bed, and she thought, "Let's tackle one of these." And so we got down from the top of the closet a 1,000-piece aquatic scene puzzle that was super hard to do. And we started to go at it, and just like you guys, if you've ever done a puzzle, you lay all the pieces out, and you get the face pieces up, and maybe you start working on your border. Everybody starts with the border first. And we got about a third of the way done with this thing, maybe even less. And, of course, nighttime came, and my mom had to go. And so what we did was we just took the tablecloth and put it over top of the puzzle, and we went on with life. And so every time we get a chance, we just lift it up. And you guys don't know how puzzles go. You have to kind of get your mind trained back to be in one and know where the shapes are and the color schemes and all that. And it was just a very difficult puzzle. 3 years later, and two more trips by my mom, we finished this puzzle due to a hurricane last summer. We were locked in the house, and so we finished this puzzle. Now, the trick to this story is that when we were laying this thing out the very first day, I happened to notice I have this little Yorkie Pomeranian dog, and I noticed him chewing on something, because everything that hits the floor is obviously a meal for him. And so I fished out a half of a piece of that puzzle. And so doing this whole thing, we realized, I don't know how many are gone. Certain distractions, right? We get done with this puzzle, and there's only 2.5 missing, but it certainly added challenges to our puzzle. Distractions. We are going to be distracted if you're a Christ follower doing great work. So, let's read on verse 7 here, back to Nehemiah's story. It said, "When Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard the repairs of Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead, and that the gaps were being closed, now they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But," what did they say? "We prayed to our God and posted a guard today and night to meet this threat." Once again, first response, let's go to God about this. They were just throwing some ridicule at us, some harsh words. Now they're threatening physical harm. But let's talk to God about this. And so what they did was they had half of the crew would work on the wall and half would stand guard. And every time they would go somewhere, they might have one guy with a trial while he's still holding his knife. And so they were prepared, but they knew God was going to fight the battle for them. They continuously talked to God about this. And I love, let's go down to verse 14. It says, "After I looked the things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord.'" Think about that. If our response was that in any trial or temptation we face, stop. Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord. That's a great response. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your homes. Men of God, we need to be fighting for our family. We need to be fighting for our wives and our children, because the enemy has a plan for them. And we better have a better one. And his name's Jesus. And if you're not fighting for them, What else is there worth fighting for in this world? Nehemiah understood this. Verse 15, when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. They got in front of God, God frustrated the plan, and they went back to work. I believe that is exactly how we are to do this. If we have a plan, if we have a great work we are trying to do in the name of Jesus Christ, pray to God, let him handle the problems, and go back to work. Get back to your chore. Don't let distractions bother you. So, one thing else is going to happen. If you're a Christ follower doing a great work, you can be sure, that you will probably face some infighting. Here's where it gets tricky. You guys ever been trying to be part of something big? You've got a team of people, and all of a sudden, guess where the enemy's going to try to attack you first? Your team. He's going to just try to destroy your marriage. He's going to try to destroy anything you've got anybody else involved with. He's going to start with a little finger pointing. He's going to start with a little bit of, yeah, but they said this about me. I wonder what they meant when they said this. And now you've got big problems. I work at a Chevrolet dealership down in Hudson part-time. And I'm usually the face that goes to the customer when there's opposition. And nothing drives me more crazy than knowing that my team is back here fighting while I'm trying to be the face of the customer. It's crazy. You cannot get anything done when your own team has problems. It's one of the things that drive me crazy. And so let's see how Nehemiah responds to this, because he dealt with this. Chapter 5, let's get down to verse 1. It says, now the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their Jewish brothers. Some were saying, we and our sons and daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain. Others were saying, we are mortgaging our fields and vineyards and our homes to get grain during this famine. So they're in a famine and they're trying to build a wall at the same time. Of course, only God can get this done. Verse 4, still others were saying, we have had to borrow money and to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards. Although we are the same flesh and blood as our countrymen, and though our sons are as good as theirs, we have to subject our sons and daughters to slavery. They actually were having to borrow from their own people, and they were taking advantage of their own people out of greed. And that's usually the start of infighting, is greed. And I tell you what, it drives me crazy when I see my own team infighting due to greed or whatever that looks like. But let's see how Nehemiah responds here. Verse 6, he says, when I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. Now, Nehemiah has faced all kinds of opposition so far, right? All kinds of ridicule, all the names, all the fun pokes, and he just goes to God. Now, he gets angry. This is the first time it mentions that he got angry, when he sees his own team doing this to each other. But I love the response here in verse 7. He says, when I heard this, I was very angry. And then he says, I pondered them in my mind. I pondered them in my mind. Now, there is a good time to get angry. I really believe that. Like I just mentioned, when you see a brother or sister in Christ taking advantage of another brother and sister in Christ, be angry for that. Jesus did. Remember when he went into the temple and they were taking advantage of each other and they were selling stuff? And remember he called it, you've turned this into a den of robbers? Do you think he was happy when all this is going on? But you know what Jesus also did? If you remember correctly, he went and made a whip. He didn't react right then. I think if there's one thing we should get better at as Christians is in your anger, don't react so quick. You can make bad choices. Nehemiah went and pondered these thoughts, and Jesus went and made a whip. And I can assure you during both of those, it doesn't say, but I'm sure there was some talks with God about how to respond in this. And man, if we need to get better at something, it's how we react, and even in good anger, we can do bad things. Remember, Scripture says, be angry, but sin not. And so there's the trick to this. So he pondered them in his mind. And then the men accused the nobles and the officials. So he thought about it, probably prayed about it, and then he went on the accused. Then he talked to them about what was going on. He challenged them. In fact, he challenged them so much that it says later on down in verse 8, it says they kept quiet because they could find nothing to say. They knew that he was right. Later on it says, at this the whole assembly said, amen, and praised the Lord, as the people did as they had promised. After he challenged them, they promised to give everything back. And when Nehemiah straightened them out, guess they said, amen, praise the Lord. I want you to just think about this for a second. Shouldn't we be that same way? I'm asking you guys, please, if you see something in my life that's out of sort, please come and tell me. I don't want to live that way. Straighten me out. Scripture says if you turn a brother from his sin, you've saved his life. Why wouldn't I be like, amen, praise the Lord? So many times we get this little pride muscle and we hear something that we're doing wrong and we're like, no. And we want to fight that. We want to be right. And why? These guys got it. We were wrong. You were right. Praise Jesus. We're back in the good graces. We're back on the right track. Man, I want to be more like these guys. Don't you? I mean, that just makes much better sense to me. If you come to me out of love, why would I not respect that? Please hold me accountable, guys. I'm good for that. I really am. So, Christ follower, doing great works because they're about God. Guess what? You're probably going to face more opposition, further things, more physical harm. I love that John 15 passage there. I'll read that for you. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you don't belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I've spoken to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And if they obey my teachings, they will obey yours. You should not look like the world. It's okay if they hate you. You don't belong to them. Consider it pure joy when you face these trials. The enemy has to work on you. Be scared if he doesn't. So, let's get to verse 1 of chapter 6. Let's see what more Nehemiah has to deal with here. When the word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, a new guy on the scene, a new guy full of hate, the Arab and the rest of the enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that point I had not set the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in the village in the plain of Ono. Excuse me. But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent the messengers with this reply that we read earlier. So they're scheming now. Okay, our physical attacks didn't work. All of our ridicule didn't work. Let's try to throw a scheme at Nehemiah. See if we can get him off his game. So, of course, he responds, I'm carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should I stop while I leave and go down to you? Four times they sent this message, and each time I gave them the same answer. How many times, church, is too much for the enemy to try to stop your great work? Who knows? But he's not going to stop. It's the only thing he's got is to try to distract you from the great work you're doing. Nehemiah faced it four times, now a fifth, it says. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent out his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter, which was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it's true. Okay, we're not saying it, Nehemiah. The nations, those guys are saying it. We kind of got your back here, and my buddy Geshem knows it's true, right? Those guys. Deceive, right? That the Jews are plotting to revolt, and you are building a wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. First lie. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us confer together. Second lie, more deceit, right? Nothing's working. Nehemiah continues to stay in the face of God and keep his eye on the wall. I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you're saying is happening. You are just making this up out of your head. They were trying to frighten us, thinking that their hands will get too weak for the work and the wall will not be completed. Okay, I love this response from Nehemiah. Nehemiah could have easily got all entangled in defending himself, defending the charges, addressing this lie and addressing that lie. But you know what he doesn't do? None of that. He let his yes be yes and his no be no, and he went on with his work. And I think that's another great example for us. Your life should live in such a way that even like Nehemiah, I'd favor with the king to let him go do something crazy because of his character. All the way to this day, when they're trying to challenge him, he said, this is just stuff you're making up. I'm not even going to get into any of this stuff. They're lies. We both know they're lies. Why do I need to go down and address this? I got great work to do. I can't be bothered with this right now. So, right in the next statement says, but I prayed, now strengthen my hands. Here we go again. Nehemiah sees a challenge. God strengthened my hands. I love this. He's so patient. He knows right where to go. He knows trials are coming. It's okay, and I'm not even going to address that. I got a great work to do. So, what's your great work? What's the great work that you know God is calling you to do? They finished the wall. Verse 15 says this. So the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in the 52 days. They built a wall, guys, in 52 days. Only God's favor lets this get done. When our enemies heard about this, they surrounded the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they had realized that the work had been done with the help of our God. Give the glory back to where it belongs. That's God's job. He got it done. We just got to help. That was our great work. I love this. God is with us. God is the one that frustrated the outside people. So let me ask you, do you know if you're a Christ follower doing a great work? Don't stop. God is with you. It's one of the most encouraging parts about that Matthew 28 passage, our Great Commission, right? And Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all my commandments. And then what? And surely I am with you always till the very end of the age. Surely I am with you. If you're working for God, he is with you. Let him fight for you. Don't be distracted. Understand trials are coming and let him fight for you. Notice how Nehemiah made this response, I can't come down. I can't come up this wall. I'm on a great work. Does that sound like another story later on in the Bible? It's a guy named Jesus refused to come off the cross because he was doing a great work and your name is it. You are the great work. And aren't you thankful that he didn't let distractions, because there was some. If you remember right, they challenged him, come to get yourself off the cross, save yourself. And don't you think all the miracles he did, some that Ron mentioned, you know, the bread, there were still people that were hungry. There were still people that were needed, that needed healing. But he had a great work and he was not coming off the cross. He had a great work to do. And I'm so thankful, just like Nehemiah refused to come off the wall, Jesus Christ said, no, I'm not coming off this cross. I've got a great work to do, and I can't be bothered with good works or ridicule or deceive and deception and lies. I don't have time for that. I'm performing a great work, and God was with him. Don't you see, everything in Scripture points to the cross. Everything in Scripture points to Jesus. And one more story of Nehemiah's stubbornness points to the cross. Jesus refused to come off the cross. So, I got to brag on a buddy of mine for a minute. You know, oftentimes we think, I had this great vision of something I'd like to get done, but I don't even know if I can do it. Or I need some help, or maybe somebody else should do it. It's a great idea for somebody to do this, you know. And so I got a buddy of mine, Dan Brown. He doesn't know I'm going to talk about him this morning, so he's probably going to be mad at me and beat me up at their service, but it's fine. It's worth the story. I love this guy. He's the self-proclaimed best barber in Florida, and I've seen some of his work, and I agree with him. And I know he's humble, so he doesn't, I won't brag about that. But I've gone into his barber shop with my kid and stuff before, and he'll be cutting some hair, and a mom will come in with her son, and Dan will call him over, come here. He'll put his arm around and check on his life, see how he's doing. And then him and his wife Jennifer decided they want to have an event. We wanted to reach our community. We wanted to be out in the world. And what they didn't do was go to the church and say, you know, this would be a great idea if you guys did this. Or, you know, get some other guys that he knew and said, you know, this would be a neat thing if you guys did. He and his wife said, we're opening our barbershop. And I think they cut, 50 free haircuts that day. And they opened the place up and they bought bounce houses and toys and outdoor games. And they provided food for so many people to eat. And they got bands together that came and performed for free. And they got some goofy looking guy to come speak. And he looked a lot like me. But the point is, he did that because he wanted to serve the community. He wasn't going to be stopped. He didn't come down off that wall. He didn't take no for an answer. And he did it to serve the community. That was a great work he was working on. Yeah. That was a great work, Dan. I appreciate it being part of that. I'm proud to call you my friend. So my challenge is, we've had a challenge each week with these bricks. Did anybody not get a brick? There's still plenty here. 2 weeks ago, we gave them out. Last week, we gave some more out. And there's been a challenge each week. And my challenge for you this week is this. What is your great work? What is the great work you need to start today? Maybe you're already on it. Don't stop. God's with you. Maybe it's a name. Maybe it's that neighbor that's just rough to be around. They just don't know who Jesus is yet. Go be Jesus to them. And don't stop because God's with you. Maybe it's that coworker that you know she's going through all of it. She's going through everything. She's doing it alone because she doesn't know who Jesus is yet. And she needs you to introduce her to Jesus so that she doesn't do it alone. Write that name there. Maybe it's a ministry like Danny's. Maybe it's just an event you want to do. Maybe it's a mission trip you need to go on. Because let me tell you something. If you go into the world, there's trouble to be had. But man, the glory at the end of that is so huge. Write that trip on there. Better yet, you know what? There's a great place to serve. It's called the preschool wing. And there's young kids in there that you can speak life into them. Speak the truth of Jesus Christ into them without ever saying a word even. My wife taught back there for about 15 years, and I got to help her the last year and a half, and I got to meet some cool people, cool young girls like Trinity Brewster, who's going to be baptized into a relationship with Jesus Christ today after service. And we get to be part of that. But I tell you what, that may be where you need to start serving. That may be where you can just go be Jesus. My wife was the teacher. All I did was go in there and hang with them. High five, be Jesus. You don't have to know anything or be good at anything to just be Jesus. And what better opportunity to speak into somebody's life than when they're 4, 5, 6 years old? Start that thing off the right way. Maybe that's your spot on the brick today. Whatever that is, I'm asking you to consider, go home and pray on this. And remember, you're going to face trials and it just has to be okay. Because the enemy can't stand the fact you're winning, that Jesus is winning. In fact, he's already won. But remember, don't stop. God's with you. My challenge to you is, write on this brick this week, what's your great work that you cannot be pulled away from? In fact, let's watch this video. What we often do as a church is when somebody young comes to Christ, decides to give their life to Jesus, we have them write down their testimony. And Trinity did that. In fact, Mom recorded it, and so we have a video to show you of that. And so I think it's important so that 10 years from now, when the enemy tries to attack Trinity and tell her that wasn't real baptism or you're no good or Jesus didn't love you, your mind wasn't clear, she can look back at this and say, yeah, he was. He did a great work in me, and I'm going to do some more great works for him. So let's watch this video.
My name is Trinity Grace, and this is my testimony.
There is peace in Christ when we learn of him. Feel the love he felt for us when he bore our sins. Listen to his words, let them come alive. If we know him as he is, there is peace in Christ.
My mom was told when she was a teenager that she could have no kids. So I was a miracle. I moved to Arizona with my mom, dad, and sister when I was 3.
He gives us hope when hope is gone. He gives us strength.
Then, me, my mom, and my sister moved to Florida because my dad was not being nice.
There is peace in Christ when we walk with him through the streets of Galilee to Jerusalem. Mend the broken hearts, dry the tear-filled eyes. When we live the way he lived, there is peace in Christ.
He gives us hope when hope is gone. He gives us strength when we can't go on.
He gives us shelter in storms of life.
When there's no peace on earth,
there is peace in Christ.
I am getting getting baptized because I want to follow Jesus as my Savior for the rest of my life. He died on the cross for me, so I want to give my life to Him and be a fisher of men.
He gives us hope when hope is gone. He gives us strength when we can't go on. He gives us shelter in the storms of life.
When there's no peace on earth,
there is peace in Christ.
When there's no peace on earth, peace in Christ.
I may not have my earthly father, but I have my heavenly father, and my heavenly father will never let me down.
Oh, tough to follow that video. Trinity Grace Brewster, this is an awesome day, huh? This is Autumn's going to be baptizing her. That's a great work you've put in here, and I appreciate that. How could you not want to be part of something like this? This is what we do. This is what we exist for. So, ready for a whole bunch of new family members today? Is Colton there? All right, we'll go quick then. All right, we've seen your story. We've seen your testimony. Now it's just left to confess. You ready? Can you repeat after me? I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Awesome. I love you. So, Autumn, your buddy's been pressing into you here for a long time. He's going to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, Autumn. Wow. What a way to end a service. Thank you guys for coming. I'm going to pray for us real quick, though. Father, thank you for the great work you started years ago in me. Thank you for these people here that get to witness another one that Satan cannot have. Thank you for the opportunity just to be part of what you do. You do the work. I expect the trouble to happen. I'm good with that. Father, because of you, bring on the rain. I love you, God. I thank you that I get to watch a young girl say no to Satan and yes to you. This is why we do this. I'm so proud of the people that do this on a weekly basis, just serve your kids everywhere they can. Would you challenge hearts to be more like servants like that? Would you let us not leave here without remembering that you have a great work in us, so who are we to stop and not do a great work in someone else? Challenge us today, Father. Thank you for today. Thank you once again for the gift of Jesus Christ. I'm his biggest miracle. And thank you for that as well. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Love you guys.